I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, Texas has emerged as the national epicenter of a surge in school book bannings as part of a broader, well-funded, and highly organized movement that has accelerated across the U.S. This movement is driven by conservative political and religious groups. They target books featuring LGBTQ themes, protagonists of color, and discussions of race and sexuality. In response, the Texas legislature in 2023 passed HB 900 that has increased the legal and professional risk for librarians. The new documentary film, The Librarians, explores the surge of book banning efforts across the U.S. with a particular focus on Texas and spotlights how librarians are being harassed and threatened for defending the right to read. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Hello, I'm Morgan Handley, Vice President of Programs with Corazon Ministries. Our vision is a community where everyone has a safe place to call home and the support to sustain a healthy life. You can help us bring that vision closer. During TPR's fall fundraising drive, when you become a new or upgraded sustaining TPR member, an anonymous funder will cover the cost of securing an ID for a person experiencing homelessness. That one step opens the way to housing, work, and vital services. Visit TPR.org to make your gift. Thanks.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the ongoing culture war in the United States, the front line is the library. That shouldn't be surprising, since libraries have always been attacked when authoritarians rise. During the Red Scare during the 1950s, libraries pulled books from the shelves that some thought were spreading communism. This happened even here at the San Antonio Public Library. And here we are again with a new moral panic, and librarians are again on the front line. In the new documentary film, The Librarians, it tells that story. Here's a clip from the doc's trailer.
I'm doing a criminal investigation into some of your staff. Essentially, the librarians are my suspects.
We have librarians who are misunderstanding what is healthy and good for children.
When I was first attacked, a student's mother was calling me a pornographer, pedophile, and groomer of children.
This, do not interrupt my time.
These are two books that I was asked to be removed, and I would not remove them.
We're going to pull books off the shelves.
Stamp, color purple.
We have a movement within America that has decided that school boards are now where they want to push their agenda.
Part of the ethics of our profession to support the First Amendment and fight censorship.
I've had former students reach out to me that have told me books have saved them. I'm going to speak out about it.
That is The Librarians, a new documentary film. With us to tell us more, Kim A. Snyder. She is the producer and director of The Librarians. Kim, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Carolyn Foote, a retired Texas school librarian and co-founder of the Texas Freedom Fighters, a Texas grassroots group advocating for the freedom to read. And Carolyn, it's so great to have you on. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
So Kim Snyder, who knew that librarians were so tough?
Well, yes, I learned a lot. And it was, in fact, the courageous Carolyn, who I'm humbled and honored to have collaborated on this with for the last 3.5 years, who first caught my attention back in the fall of 21 when the Krauss list with the 850 books was released back then. But yes, I have come to learn that they are fierce, they are tough, they are just the hallmark of integrity and patriots, heroic patriots. And they're also resourceful and funny. All those things I learned.
And Carolyn Foote, what were some of the things people called you while you're dealing as a librarian and you were trying to face this down?
Well, I'll start off with heroic and fierce, but also On the other side, people called me and my colleagues, and are still calling librarians, groomers, pedophiles, pornographers, and other terms similar to that, which, you know, in my 40-year career in education was just unfathomable that those terms would be used about librarians.
And you had to deal with harassment, I guess there were threats of violence?
Some librarians have had to deal with, yes, threats of violence, as you see in the librarians film. Some librarians have had to deal with harassment or unpleasant emails, to say the least, being filmed, their library collections being filmed. It comes in many different forms, but there's been a tremendous amount of pressure on school and public librarians in Texas the last 4 years.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, to join the conversation about the documentary film, The Librarians, and what is happening with libraries these days, this moral panic, people trying to remove books, and what does that mean for libraries, the right to read, and what it means for young kids, people who want to read these books. You mentioned the Krauss list, Kim Snyder. That was something that was generated by State Representative Matt Krauss, roughly 850 books. He said, these are the books that you need to remove from school libraries. He says they cause students discomfort, guilt, anguish, and other forms of psychological distress due to content about race, sex, gender, sexuality, or history. So what? How did this list become a thing, even outside of Texas, Kim?
Well, I think that's maybe more of a Carolyn question, but I do know enough from them that there was a lot of curiosity about the oddness of some of the, you know, the randomness of some of the titles on this list. But it seemed that the, you know, there was a kind of Google search with certain keywords. But I don't know, Carolyn, what your perspective, I know we've talked about how that list came into being in Texas.
It's something we never really found out, but when we saw the list of titles, yeah, it was easy to see that it included a lot of books about race and racism, a lot of books about with LGBTQ characters or themes, also books about student rights, books about sexual health, and books about even the Supreme Court. There was even a book on the list about quinceañeras. So it was an oddly compiled list, but the target seemed pretty clear to us in Texas. And because of social media, the titles on this list have gotten targeted in many states now, not just Texas.
Matt Krauss, he had just announced that he was going to try to primary Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. And when he released this list, it seemed politically calculated that he was trying to outflank Ken Paxton on his right by releasing this. There's never been made clear how this list was generated. Do you see that there was some sort of political grandstanding, showboating going on here, Carolyn?
Certainly. I mean, the fact that he was a candidate, the list was actually sent to superintendents around the state, not every superintendent, but lots of superintendents. And but it was part of this, you know, it came on the heels of the spring before demands to remove books about critical race theory from libraries, which had led to some attacks on books about race, even like ABC children's books. And so there was already this climate under the surface about books about race and racism. But when this list came out and included all the LGBTQ titles, books about, race, minorities, student rights, we were pretty surprised by it and the volume of it. But it definitely accelerated the conversation because, as you saw in the film, Governor Abbott kind of doubled down on it and called out pornography in school libraries. And I want to clarify that school libraries do not carry pornography. So I want to make that clear right at the outset.
All right. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to take a break here. Our phone lines are open. I'm going to get Edward on the air. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, The Librarians, the new documentary and book banning here in Texas and across the nation. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas has emerged as the national epicenter in a surge in school book bannings. It's part of a broader, well-funded, and highly organized movement that has accelerated across the U.S. And it is a subject of a new documentary film, The Librarians. And you can call in, join the conversation, 833-877-8255. Let's go to Edward. Edward, you're on the air.
Hey, David Martin. Excellent topic, as always. I'm not recalling the lady librarian's names, but hello. I wanted to point out, like, it sounds like, and I've read the news on this list, it sounds like most all of it is absurd, quite frankly. It sounds like that point of view is anything about race, anything about LGBTQ or sexuality is bad. That's absurd. However, knowing that and making that statement, which I believe we all agree with, I must also recognize that just because a book is about race, just because a book is about LGBT, or just because a book is about sexuality, doesn't mean it's actually good either. The topic itself or the genre is not a value statement. It can be good or bad, or both. And there is plenty of documentation of some bad literature in libraries. There's more than enough documentation. At this point, to deny that is also absurd. So I would like to hear the librarian speak to those books, the ones that aren't actually appropriate for, say, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds that have been documented in libraries.
Do you have an example, Edward? Do you have an example of one of these books?
Yes. I don't remember the title, but there's plenty of examples, especially regarding sex.
Okay. All right. Well, we don't have an example there. Carolyn Foote, a retired Texas school teacher, and you're part featured in one of the librarians featured in the documentary, The Librarians. Can you respond to what Edward was asking?
Sure. First of all, there's several things I want to say, but thank you for the call and the question. Certainly, one of the things that librarians are trained to do is select age-relevant materials for their library. And I think something that's gotten confused in sort of the heated conversation is that often it's mentioned that these books for children are in elementary school libraries. The books in question on a lot of these challenges are books that are primarily in middle school and high school libraries. So they're in a location where they would be considered age relevant to the age of the reader. Now, not every family might consider that particular book relevant to their child. And so libraries have always provided the opportunity for a parent to come in and let the librarian know what their reading preferences are for their child. And that's been going on. I mean, I was a librarian for 30 years. That went on my entire career. I had a parent that didn't want their children to read Garfield books, for example. So I just made a note in my record. So that opportunity for parents to object has been going on all along. But Also, we can't remove materials from all the other families who might be interested in books like I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, for example, which has an account of sexual assault, but many, many families would consider that an important book for their family member to read. So part of the process is making sure that we're addressing individual parents' needs and not removing things from other families who want to have access to them. And then in regards to quality literature, librarians do read reviews when they select books, and that's discussed in the film as well. So it's not that we just run onto Amazon and order anything without a lot of safeguards first. So I just want to offer those opportunities for understanding. Thank you.
Kim Snyder, as director, producer of the film, The Librarians. So how did you first get compelled to take this topic on? Was there a single moment or story that really triggered you that you said this needs to be your next film?
Well, it was, as I said, it was really Carolyn and several of her colleagues whose inquiry and becoming vocal about this, you know, attracted my attention in Texas. And then we quickly understood from Carolyn that I think somewhat to your surprise, Carolyn, there was an outpouring of reaction from libraries well beyond Texas across the nation. And then we kind of knew it wasn't really just a Texas story and it needed to be bigger and a long form feature documentary that we would work together to give a voice to what Carolyn and so many people, librarians, but we were also learning that there were all of these citizens by way of parents and young people that were flanking them in raising an alarm bell about what was a completely unprecedented wave, as we've learned from the recent PEN America recent stats of the amount of books that have been banned since the fall of 21.
PEN America, they said that there has been a normalizing book banning. People now expect it almost. They see it and there's less of an outrage when it happens. Carolyn Foote, can you react to that?
Yes. So during my 30-year career as a librarian, at my specific library, we had three book challenges. So it was not the norm for an individual parent to come forward and have a concern about a book for their child. And PEN America has documented since 2021 over 20,000 book challenges, book bans in this country. That's a number none of us in our lifetime, as PEN America points out, have ever seen. So we are in an unprecedented moment where it's snowballed and where what might have been a question over one or two books is now thousands and thousands of books that have been challenged or removed. And we just saw this morning that New Braunfels ISD board voted in closed session to close all of their secondary libraries so they can review 50,000 books. So they're removing student access to the library for that purpose. So this is also unprecedented. I've not heard of this happening until the last 4 years throughout my 40 years as a teacher and a librarian.
Do you see this, Kim, as broader than just libraries?
Absolutely. One of the first conversations I had with Carolyn, probably off camera, she said, you know, we're the canaries in the coal mine. Little did I know 3.5 years ago how prescient those words would be sitting here today when we've seen an assault on our freedom of expression permeate museums, institutions of higher education, mainstream entertainment. I think that, you know, not to spoil it, but another of our wonderful librarians, you know, starts out in the movie saying, you know, this is our story. We have to be out in front. We have to tell this story. We can't be silenced in telling this. And then by the end, she says, I don't know what's going to happen because our story is still being written, but now it's everyone's story. And it is all of our story about an attack on something that is just so fundamentally un-American. Our First Amendment rights are being threatened each and every day. And when I tell you we have traversed the country, and there is not one state where I have been that's a librarian or another person has stood up and said, this is happening here. And that's New York, Maine. So whereas people like to point a finger to Texas in terms of some more draconian things that are happening, and as Carolyn pointed out, there is concerning legislation. This is everywhere.
Yeah, I want to talk about that legislation and what that means and how that impacts. And it's not just these books. It's all books that we have to be thinking about. We're going to take a break here, and we'll continue our conversation talking about the librarians. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
With federal funding for public media eliminated, listeners all over this country are stepping up to support public radio. Hi, I'm Elsa Chang from All Things Considered.
And I'm Aisha Roscoe from Weekend Edition. We're here to share a little of what people are saying. Kyle in Brooklyn says, I'm skipping two lattes a month to keep Steve Inskeep in my ear each morning. We see you and thank you, Kyle.
Farouk in El Paso, Texas says, public radio is one of the key bloodlines of this country, keeping communities connected. Thank you, Farouk.
And Diane in Juneau, Alaska says, I'm so sorry this day has come. You have my support as long as I am able. Thanks, Diane.
If you have already made your gift to the station, or if you're a sustaining donor, seriously, thank you.
If not, please join the movement to protect public radio today and tell us why you're stepping up.
Here's how to donate, and thanks.
Call us, 800-622-8977. You could also start your gift given today at tpr.org. You can go to our smartphone app, and you can pledge right there. I'm David Martin Davies. This is our Texas Public Radio Fall Fundraising Drive. Every broadcast, every program, every story, it all costs money to produce. We're now doing it without that federal support. So sustaining these services right now relies entirely on listener contributions. Your monthly gift makes a real big difference. It makes an immediate difference. When we can't do it without you, give us a call, 800-622-8977. With me in the studio is Dan Katz.
You know, Dave, every great community meets its challenges heads on, and public radio is no different. This hour, we've been given a challenge. We're looking to raise $10,000 by 3 p.m. by the start of All Things Considered, and a generous donor is going to match it. And we've raised just over $6,000. We have just over $6,000 left to raise to be able to meet it. And so meeting these challenges is how we keep fearless reporting, smart conversations, programs like The Source on the air. And if you value that, step up with a gift right now and help us finish this challenge strong. Go to tpr.org, or you can call 800-622-8977. We want to thank a donor from San Antonio who says, I know even my humble commitment will contribute to the overall support that one donation at a time, and this is still part of the listener's quote, as a country, we have a true need to keep communication open, and more than ever, we must support one another. This is my small effort to help sustain well-researched, fact-based media. Thank you to everyone who contributes to the amazing programming on this station, unquote. Enough wow. said, right?
That's great. You know, not to be too on the nose about things, but there is a connection between what we're doing right now, what happened with the yanking of the government funding, and what's happening with the librarians, what we're talking about on The Source today, how they're trying to pull books from the shelves. But it's not just LGBTQ books. Those are important. They shouldn't be pulled, but so many other books, history books, great cultural books. It's just something we have to be thinking about. The Trump administration pulled funding for libraries across the nation as well as museums, and they're trying to pull things out of museums now. So, you know, where do we stand up? How do we stand up? Well, one way to do that is support your local public radio station, 800-622-8977.
you know, these aren't just stories when we're talking about the librarians right now. These are people quietly doing consequential work in school libraries, public libraries, big cities, small towns in our listening area. If that resonates with you, if you believe that books, ideas, and access to knowledge should not be political, we need your help. The Source brings you stories like this because they matter, but it takes time, resources, and community support to keep doing it. 800-622-8977 is that number to call, or you can give online at tpr.org.
You know, we talk a lot about fact-checking. Well, here's some facts. The government support leftists. That's a fact, and that's check. That's correct. Every pledge to Texas Public Radio is critical and necessary. That's a fact. Check that off. We're 100% community funded, and we reflect the community of San Antonio. Check. That's a fact. We need to keep that going. And we need your support. That is a fact, and that is a check that off, because that is a fact check with a big fat red check right there. We need your support. Give us a call right now, 800-622-8977. Go to tpr.org or use our TPR app. Thank you. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the new documentary film, The Librarians. We're joined by Kim Snyder. She is the director and producer of this film, and also Carolyn Foote. She's profiled in the book. She is a retired Texas school librarian and the co-founder of the Texas Freedom Fighters, a Texas grassroots group advocating for the freedom to read. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. How are you feeling about these book bannings and where we're going next? It's not stopping. It is continuing. We're going to be talking about that in just a moment. So, Kim Snyder, when you in the trailer, we see it opens up with body cam footage of a police officer investigating the library. Well, what is that all about?
Well, we made, you know, shortly after learning about the Krauss list, we became aware of a particular situation in Granbury, Texas, where I believe it was 130 books were being taken off the shelf. And we started to follow that as a sort of epicenter, ground zero story. Shortly after, it became, I think, one of the first towns in the nation that was being investigating by the Department of Education. And so we started to dig in there and began to meet people there who populate the film, some of those subjects we get to know. And, you know, there was that original shock. I mean, when I make films over 3 or 4 years, you know, part of it is joining forces with a group of people whose voice needs to be lifted. In this case, it was the Freedom Fighters and everyone they were representing. And you take a journey, and that beginning was a kind of shock to learn that criminalization, as you just said, was on the table. It is where a constable went into the library with charges toward the librarian for distributing books to minors. Books that under Texas state penal code were deemed to be obscenity. And you can correct me, Carolyn, if I'm getting any of this wrong. But that's what we're hearing in that scene, that is actually happening. It's not a Handmaid's Tale kind of future scenario.
That's one of the books they're trying to ban.
That's right. That's right. But that is a real... what you heard was real body cam footage of law enforcement going in with the intention of arresting librarians.
And I do want to thank you, Kim. And we were shocked when that footage was revealed, and NBC got some behind the scenes information about it. But the books in question did not really meet the legal definition of obscenity, and therefore the case did not end up going forward. But one of the things we've seen in Texas since then, this last legislative session, is that SB 412 was a bill that removed protections in the penal code for educators, scientists, psychologists, other groups of people from just doing their jobs. And so that makes it even more possible for us to see in the future this sort of incident. So it's very, of course, concerning to school people.
So let's talk about the legislation you just mentioned. In 2023, the lawmakers passed a bill, SB, House Bill 900, which was a crackdown or trying to ban these. The new law notably was designed to systematically censor and increase the legal and professional risk for educators, librarians, and book vendors. This was the Restricting Explicit and Adult Designated Educational Resources, the READER Act, and it went into effect on September 1st, 2023, but it was later to be found to be unconstitutional on a number of grounds. But still, even though it was thrown out, that this law is still being used in order to harass librarians. Is that right, Carolyn?
Well, a part of the law was ruled unconstitutional, the book vendor part, the definitions in the bill. But yes, it did lead to actions by school districts, which are continuing today. And then in this last session, the legislature passed SB 13, which is a bill that restricts how librarians purchase books. Districts can voluntarily, or being petitioned, form a parent committee of 5 to 7 parents that will oversee all purchases in a school district. So imagine large school districts in your viewing area that might purchase thousands and thousands and thousands of books a year, have to put all the books before this committee twice a year, then have the books be posted online for 30 days after that, and then take the books to the school board for approval. So gone are the days if a teacher needed me to purchase some books for one act play with a play in it that the students were going to perform for their competition, I could no longer go to the bookstore and purchase those books and catalog them and have them in the library by the next week. I would have to wait 3 or 4 months or longer to get that book on the shelf. So, and then House Bill 900 mentioned classroom libraries. So there's another bill which passed, SB 12, the session, which was a sort of anti-diversity bill. It excluded instructional materials. However, some districts, including a couple in San Antonio and Leander, thought that that included instructional materials in the classroom, so have looked at should they be restricting books in the classroom. And so all of these bills have just generated a lot of time spent away from serving students while everyone sorts out what these bills mean and how they're restricting intellectual freedom for our students. So it's been a very tense and difficult time as school districts and librarians work through these bills.
So Carolyn Foote, earlier you mentioned something that was happening and at the New Braunfels School District. Are they implementing that SB 13 that went into effect on September 1st? Are these things connected? And what happened? What's going on in New Braunfels? And explain that.
So we found out this morning that New Braunfels, apparently New Braunfels had been targeted on social media in some way. And apparently last night, the board in some closed session decided to close all of their libraries temporarily while the librarians go through all 50,000 books to determine what things can remain on the shelf. The district is saying it's because of SB 13. SB 13 only applies to new books that are being purchased that have to go through this committee process. So it's probably public pressure, which is often what happens in these cases, organized political pressure. puts a lot of demands on a local school district that was not prepared for the pressure. And so policies are not always followed exactly, or the law isn't followed exactly. So we're very concerned about what's happening in New Braunfels. But we've also seen impacts in Northeast ISD, Leander, Hayes. So we're seeing it all over the state in different scenarios in different places. So, you know, it's just another way in Texas and in other states in the South that we're seeing pullbacks to academic freedom. And I know while some parents might have concerns, and we understand that, again, we want a parent to be able to handle that concern in the way that they see fit for their child. But there's a whole gray area about sexual content. And I want to remind people that a story with sexual assault in it, an account of sexual assault, like I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings or The Color Purple, that students deserve to understand what a healthy sexual relationship is and what a healthy relationship is all about.
Yeah, let me just step in here. I want to say that in this world, with the internet being available to everyone in their pocket, kids cannot be protected from sexual content. It's out there. They've seen it. They've seen more than you can imagine. But they don't have a place to go to learn about healthy sexual relationships.
What I find interesting is my mom, who is in her 80s, told me a few weeks ago that her mom wouldn't talk to her about the birds and the bees. So she went to the public library to learn about it. And that would have been in the 1950s. And so certainly we would assume that students in 2025 should be able to have that sort of access. I mean,
they want context, because what's out there is just crazy. Right. Is that your experience? Because, you know, what you heard from students, Carolyn?
Right. They need a source that's reputable, that's contained. I always think of books are contained. People that write books for young people know they're writing for young people. So there's usually friendly characters and supportive factual information.
Yeah.
So that's a part of it. I think another part of what's happening, to be honest, is that that the presence of LGBTQ characters is being conflated with sexual content, even if there is absolutely zero sexual content.
Well, from crosswalks now to books, you know, it's all being trying to be erased. We're going to take another 1 minute break. I'll get Randall and Adrian on the air when we come back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The authoritarian playbook, one of the early steps is to go after the libraries. We're living that right now. A new documentary film, The Librarians, tells the story of librarians from Texas and across the country who are dealing with the moral panic, people saying that they're spreading smut and that they need to be have these books taken down or have the books libraries shut down. They're defunding libraries. School districts are no longer they're getting rid of their librarians. This is a road to bad things. We're talking to Kim Snyder, the producer and director of The Librarians, and Carolyn Foote. She is a retired Texas librarian and is a founder of the Texas Freedom Fighters. Let's go to Randall on the phones. Randall, you're on the air.
Wow, Dave, the authoritarian playbook. That should be required reading.
Yeah, it is. It should be.
A couple of things here. Okay, first of all, with new technology and all that, I can see a K-12 school system or district or even a private school, they could have an individual student library profile. When Blaine brings a book up to check out, librarian enters the book, gets a warning. I'm so sorry, Blaine, but your parents won't allow you to read this book. I mean, is that happening yet? And second point is, when we put all these reading restrictions on children at the K through 12 level, how does that hinder them when they go to UTSA or Our Lady of the Lake or San Antonio College? They take the English or literature course and they don't have a previous understanding of, say, William Shakespeare because mom and dad put the blinders on when they were in high school.
All right.
That's all.
Randall, thank you for that. Kim, in your, it says, putting together the film, The Librarians, is there talk about how we are making some kids across the country less competitive because libraries are now missing books?
Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of questions we get when we tour with the film is the rate of literacy in any way connected to what we see happening and this intentional attack on public education in general. But I think that I also wanted to just add on for a moment to what Carolyn was saying before, that we're also seeing books about race and the erasure of Black history. You know, our friend Suzette, who was fired in her Llano, Texas, with a pretty prominent legal case that ensued, you know, is fired for refusing to take books like How to Be an Anti-Racist off the shelf, and aptly says, how are these books pornographic? They're not. So, you know, I think that a lot of these, also these treasures of literature like Toni Morrison, beloved books like that, I think it is true that it's not just the intentional erasure of a lot of the books of by Black authors and Black history, but these are important pieces of literature in collections for kids.
But they're also removing, like earlier we said, the Handmaid's Tale. That's a book that's frequently banned. 1984 is banned. To Kill a Mockingbird is being banned. Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451. A lot of these books that are critically important for having a cultural awareness. And they're ironically being banned because they're about the freedom to read frequently. Carolyn Foote, to the question from the caller, Randall, does technology help, you know, curate collections for certain kids who their parents don't want them to see things?
Sure. Librarians can already do that with the software that we have. We can put indicators in the software mm-hmm. program we use to flag any student for any reason and share their parent concerns. So that can already happen. I think we're at a point where, you know, libraries are all about curiosity, right? About learning. And we're at a point in places in this country where we're not necessarily respecting that academic freedom. And schools, universities really require statewide a mutual respect for our neighbors who are different from ourselves and a mutual ability to understand that people have different beliefs and that we respect our neighbors and other families in our communities. And so I think one of the things you see in the film, in the very combative school board meetings, is that breakdown of that mutual respect for your neighbor, because employees in your school district are your neighbors. They often live in your community, but also other parents who have different viewpoints or the students who go to the school who speak up in the film. They are part of the community, and we need to mutually respect one another, whatever our differences are. And I think that's a question the film really raises.
That's cool.
And I was just gonna add to that that somebody had written something I really been thinking about, which is that censorship isn't just corrosive to democracy, it's corrosive to personal integrity. And I think that's, Carolyn, what you're sort of referring to, is behavior of people begins to change under the advances of censorship. And it's something that I feel is so inspiring in the stories in the film, because especially young people, I think, are yearning for role models that are adults that are standing up for what they think is right, and because they have integrity, not because of a political line.
I think that's well said. Kim Snyder, she is the producer, the director of The Librarians, a documentary that premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. Carolyn Foote is a retired Texas school librarian and co-founder of the Texas Freedom Fighters, a Texas grassroots group advocating for freedom to read. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Lakshmi Singh.
And I'm Dwayne Brown.
We normally bring you the NPR newscast each hour, but today we're here with something different.
That's right. We're sharing some recent NPR donor comments from listeners all across the country, like William in Arizona. He donated because the truth matters. I couldn't have said it better myself, William.
Anita in Maryland says, free and fair news is important for me and those in my diverse community to thrive and understand one another.
Biora in Florida donated to support, quote, dependable, informative, brave reporting. I could go on and on.
Okay, we'll end with Joe in Kentucky, who says, I can't imagine a world without public radio.
If you can't imagine a world without public radio either, please join the community of NPR network supporters and give to this station today.
Here's how, and thank you.
You can call us, 800-622-8977. You could also go online to tpr.org, and you can use your smartphone app. There's a little button there. You can donate, and you can go work through there and start your monthly gift giving today here at Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're doing the Texas Public Radio Fall Fundraising Drive. And with me in the studio is our Vice President of News, Dan Katz.
And we are in a challenge right now to raise $10,000 by 3 p.m. today. That's in order to unlock an additional $5,000 in support. And here's the thing about challenges. They bring out the best in us. And right now, we've got one on the table. We've got $5,184 left to raise. We're almost halfway there. And it's your chance to show that when there's a challenge, this community rises to meet it. So don't wait for someone else to do it. Step up. Make your gift now. TPR.org. Call 800-622-8977. And let's meet this challenge together. Want to say thank you to Kathleen Lockhart in San Antonio for becoming a new sustaining TPR member. Kathleen says, I enjoy TPR and hope it doesn't go away. I also hope everybody steps up to support TPR. You know, Dave, just like the callers come up with some great questions for the guests sometimes on The Source,
yeah,
the listeners seem to be doing my job for me with these comments.
You know, during these pledge drive opportunities, when we open to the mic and we're supposed to explain, you know, why people should support Texas Public Radio. And it is, you know, I sit here and I'm trying thinking, what are they waiting for? What argument do I need to make? What statements of fact do I need to present to convince people that supporting Texas Public Radio is the right thing to do and that they ought to be doing it? And
besides the tote bag, of course.
The tote bag, which the tote bag looks really good this year. Have you seen it? It's pretty cool.
Gorgeous.
And it's very, you know, it's the way it's been embroidered looking. So it's just weird. Like, how do I say it? What words do I need to say to tell people that Texas Public Radio is essential for them, that individual listener, but also the entire community? There are lots and lots of people who do listen and need this information who don't have the resources to support us. If you listen and you value this information, you know, we're not asking you to do a lot. We're just asking you to probably pay the same amount that you would for any other subscription service that you probably use or pay for or don't use. And it just makes sense. It makes San Antonio so much better city and community. And so that, you know, with those resources, I can go out and I really want to work hard. I want to work extremely hard in order to go get the stories and do this show and do other things for Texas Public Radio and therefore the entirety of San Antonio, which is my hometown. So what words do I need to say? How do I convey that? You know, it's just please support your public radio station. It's good for you. It's good for your neighbors. It's good for your community. It's good for all of us. And we just need some folks to do it. We can't make you do it. It's your option. If you don't want to do it, that's fine too. Enjoy listening to Texas Public Radio. But if you can, just think about that choice that you can make, and it'll be great. Give us a call right now, 800-622-8977. Use that app. Go to tpr.org. It's all the same to me. Just please do it now.
Well, we've got a few people who just called in who understand what you're talking about. I want to say thank you to another supporter in San Antonio who says they're a longtime listener, that they love their TPR station, and to two more listeners in Bernie and in San Antonio. And we're excited to have a new sustaining TPR member on board from Cibolo and another new business member, an all-in business member on all of our new stations, Alamo Architects. You know, challenges have a way of reminding us who we are. When this community is called to step up, we do. And right now, we've been given that challenge, and meeting it keeps the stories, the voices, and the truth of public radio strong. Your gift today is part of that story. Go to tpr.org, or you can call 800-622-8977 and help us rise to meet this challenge. And thank you so very much.